Team Nashville Studios. It's time for Darren, Donick, and Chase. With hosts Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe. On Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Fourth and final hour. Darren, Donick, and Chase. Even though the suit has left the building. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here at the Patron Platinum Club at Bridgestone Arena. Predators and Capitals tonight. 7 o'clock. Buck drop, Pete Weber, Hal Gill on your call. On these airwaves, I'll have pregame for you starting at 6 o'clock. We say hello and good afternoon to Teresa Walker, AP, Associated Press. She is back from her little jaunt to L.A. Not the Olympics, but L.A., covering Super Bowl 56. Teresa, I just read the top 10 TV markets for the Super Bowl. And L.A. was not in the top 10. So did anybody care when you were out there about the Super Bowl?
Let's put it this way. They sure seemed to. I mean, the Super Bowl marketing and all the billboards was everywhere. You know, there seemed to be some good crowds coming through the convention center, which is where they had the NFL experience. And, the night before the Super Bowl, I went to Green Day Miley Cyrus concert at Staples Center. Yes, it was a really nice concert, I'm just saying. But it was packed around there, okay? And, you know, there was so much Bengals gear, and shoot, my flight in, it felt like there was Bengals, fans all over my flight from Nashville. And I'll say this, Cincinnati folk represented inside SoFi. I mean, you know, they were walking around before the game, and after they had that 75-yard touchdown, you could hear them chanting, "Who day, who day." But it's a big, big market. I mean, you know, what do we talk about with Florida? You know, there's so much else to do. Maybe they weren't watching. I will say this. On the media bus to SoFi on Sunday, lots and lots of folks were set up for yard parties, okay? So it may be that fewer TVs were turned on, but there sure seemed to be a lot of people having Super Bowl parties outside because, well, it's L.A.
Okay, yeah. And the weather was nice. It was in the 80s, right?
Yes, it was. I thought we were going to be, you know, we were watching it all week, you know, to see if, particularly on game day, would it be a record high, which had been at 1973 at the L.A. Memorial Coliseum. But, and it did reach 85 at one point, but not at kickoff. It was officially 82, so not the hottest. But in the press box where I was, right up against the glass on the front row, and when the doors closed, it was a little hot and humid in there. I'm just saying. And it felt a lot. It felt Tennessee hot. I know they keep saying it's a dry heat. To me, it was just hot.
How was Mike Vrabel to deal with out there?
Well, he was great. I mean, you know, he came through the red carpet kind of late. The window was 3 to 5 local time, and I think he came through after 5 o'clock-ish. And when I waved him down, because it was a weirdly configured red carpet, I've done this show before where it was like, you know, a straight line. This one was kind of like a turn, and I was at the last little stretch, and, you know, Derrick Henry kind of walked by me, but I couldn't get him flagged down. But, you know, I wasn't letting Mike walk by me, and he walks up to a microphone. I didn't have a mic stand out there, so we didn't find out that you would need one until after I'd gotten out there, so... didn't have one, anything packed, so I'm just stretching out my stick, and he walked to the nearest microphone, which was Telemundo Deportes, and, you know, their reporter a few steps away was trying to ask the first question, and it's like, no, I waved him down, and he says, and he said, Teresa gets the first question, so, yeah, well, you know, what can I say, if you're going to fly all the way out there.
Yeah, no doubt. You should have told Derrick Henry you wanted some Old Spice, and maybe he would have stopped and talked to you.
Well, yeah, he was a working guy.
Hocking Old Spice out there.
Yeah, he was all over the Radio Row area on Friday, but that's when I went out to UCLA to catch the Bengals. I wrote about Jamar Chase on Friday, so yeah, I didn't get to catch up with him there.
Did you go to the award show Thursday night?
No, it's weird. You know, you work the red carpet, and then for us, I was helping get reaction from the awards. But they took us across the street to the NFL media, you know, building across from SoFi. So we were on the fourth floor working there, and I'm pulling reaction from the award winners. And then at the time that Mike Vrabel got the Coach of the Year award, I was back for a news conference for the Pro Football Hall of Famers that they had introduced on the broadcast. So I had the little Zoom up in a window of my laptop, so I know that a colleague of mine gave his regrets, or gave my regrets, that I couldn't join onto the Zoom, but that, you know, what can I say? I was in there with the Hall of Famers, you know, Bocelli, yeah. Leroy Butler. Leroy Butler, which, oh my goodness, anybody who ever covered him had to be grateful. That guy is a quote machine still. So, and I tell you, if you haven't seen The Knock on the Door, you know, Dave Baker, president of the Hall of Fame, retired. Well, they did. He was the guy who kind of started doing The Knock. They tweaked it in a very fun way this year. Players from their positions did the knock, like Tony Bocelli, Anthony Munoz, Charles Haley for Bryant Young.
Nice.
Really nice the way they did that. So, and the players really appreciated it as well.
What did you make of the storylines from either this market, Nashville, or the state that we're representing in the Super Bowl?
Well, I tell you, it was tough not being out there and watching that game, not to think what could have been for this franchise, the Titans, because it felt like, you know, coulda, shoulda, woulda been. And, you know, especially knowing that the Titans beat the Rams in that building, yep, in November without Derrick Henry. So, but guys, you know, it's sports. Timing is everything. And, you know, the Bengals are going to be kicking themselves. You know, 125 left, and, you know, the pass protection issues that were an issue all season long, you know, they couldn't buy their quarterback a half second longer to find Ja'Marr Chase, who was wide open down the sideline, you know, on that second and one. Ramsey's on the ground, and they can't find him because, you know, he's under such duress. So, you know, that's the thing about sports. I know that when coaches say it, we all know it's a cliche, but it's a cliche for a reason, because only one team gets lifted up and everybody else is like, what can we do better? What did we do wrong? And how do we fix it?
Teresa Walker is with us. So, Teresa, I'm curious, just, you know, what was your angle covering the Super Bowl? You know, knowing that there was still a lot of sting and a lot of, you know, why didn't it happen for the Titans and what could have been, but other than that, how did you try to go about it, especially knowing that, you know, we're in a different time now than maybe you were 5 or 6 years ago with access and things like that?
Well, Willie, it is different. So I was there helping cover for the entire country. So, you know, during the week I wrote about, you know, the SEC flavor to that game, and boy, there was a ton of SEC players there. I also wrote about the star power in that game, you know, I mean, Ramsey, a three-time Pro Bowler, Aaron Donald, you name it. You know, there was enough star power on the field to rival what we saw in the stands. And I tell you, LA royalty off the field certainly was there on Sunday. But the access, I tell you, it was weird. I flew in Thursday because Monday through Wednesday, all virtual. And Thursday they even did virtually, you know, with the NFL's Zoom platform, which, you know, it's not bad because as soon as you get done, they very quickly have the recording so you can go get what you need. But it was so much better on Friday to be in person. Now they used, you know, the track field, Drake Park at UCLA is where the Bengals practiced, and they had them spread out. I mean, we were as socially distant as you could get. You know, players were like six rows up in the stands. They had the podium behind them, you know, microphones so everybody could hear. And even then, you're talking through a mask. There was one guy who, you know, kept trying to ask Ja'Marr Chase a question. And, you know, finally somebody else, you know, similar to after the Super Bowl, just yelled it out because, you know, nobody could quite, the poor player couldn't understand what was being said. But that said, it felt more normal. Media, loading a bus, going to a practice site, and being able to talk to people in person, even if it was some distance. And it's like, oh, thank goodness, because it's so much easier to have interaction with a player or a coach when you can do it in person, even if it's a few feet away.
I want to sneak one in about the Grizzlies. I know you do your share of trips over to Memphis to watch them. They are really having a great season. I know there's a lot of people maybe in our market that don't pay as much attention until towards the end of the year and then on into the playoffs. But, man, are they doing some great work over there.
Willie, anyone who, if you don't like NBA, if you know Murray State, though, watch Ja Morant. You will find yourself falling in love with this team. They play fun football. I mean, basketball. Can you tell I just was at the Super Bowl?
Yep, you got it. You're making the change over here. Yep.
Exactly. I'm grinding the gear a little bit there. But, you know, this is a team, they share the ball. It's not one guy takes it, everyone clears out. You know, they're running and gunning. I mean, the way they get the ball up the field, John Morant's no-look passes, the thunderous dunks, the alley-oops. I mean, this is a fun team to watch. And they're third in, not only in the Western Conference, they're third essentially in the NBA right now with the standings. I mean, this is a good team. They're putting together the best season, I think, since maybe 2015. And that was a team that was up 2-1 on the eventual NBA champs, the Golden State Warriors. But right now, there are three teams with at least 40 wins, and the Grizzlies are one of them. They have won at Phoenix. They have won at Golden State. And, they're just fun to watch. And John Morant, all-star starter in the all-star game coming up, and he's also, guys, a legitimate MVP candidate. They are undefeated in the month of March, 5-0.
Quickly, on the way out, how was the halftime show live and in person?
It was so much fun, guys. I tell you, it feels like you have a little bit of delay, if it's coming over the TV. But, all the volunteers in the press box were kind of pressing up to get as close as they could to the glass and singing and kind of, singing the song loud and along with the it was fun. And looking around the stadium, I didn't see anybody but the few people who in the press box who were still working at halftime. Those are the only people I saw sitting. People were dancing. It was fun, and it was energetic. And for people who maybe didn't like the Atlanta Super Bowl halftime show, L.A. got it right.
Appreciate the visit. Glad you're back. Thanks for doing this.
My pleasure. Thank you both, Darren and Willie.
Teresa Walker, Associated Press. Good stuff from her, as always. We'll come back. We'll continue the discussion. On the other side, here live from Patron Platinum Club, you're listening to Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.